that Andrew read for us just a few minutes ago, Joshua and chapter 7, the passage that is best known for its record of Achan's sin. This is one of the most important passages in the Bible. I will explain in a moment why. And actually, this isn't going to be my only sermon in this passage. I expect to be here for about three in all, so two more sermons, I think, might even be more, but certainly two more I've planned from this passage. When you read the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, you read about people who do not belong to God, people who are not Christians, and the way that they sin. So, for example, you read about Cain and how he murdered his brother Abel. And you read in the Old Testament about Esau and how he sold his birthright to his twin brother. And you read about the Egyptians and how they persecuted the Israelites and sought to kill them. And you read about others in the Old Testament, Balaam and people like that. These people who never belonged to God and fell into sin. And those passages are written there to teach us about the world and how the world lives and the sin that there is in the world. But then as you read the Bible, there are passages which speak about the children of God and how they fell into sin. We're not now thinking about people like Cain, who was clearly outside of the kingdom of God and had no relationship with God and was not a covenant child of God. We're not now thinking about people like Balaam and people like the Egyptians who were strangers to God. There are these passages in the Bible where you read about people who were among the covenant people of God. You read about Abraham and how Abraham twice fell into the sin of lying. You read about Moses and how he murdered an Egyptian. You read about Achan in the book of Numbers and how he rebelled against Moses. You read about David and how he committed murder and adultery. And you read about Achan. And you're reading about people who belong to the community of God's people. Covenant people of God. You could go into the New Testament and read about Peter denying the Lord three times. There are these passages in the Bible. And if we read the Bible sensitively, you know, we read the Bible as we should, with tender hearts, seeking to learn important lessons from our God from this Bible. These passages should really disturb us. These passages should cause us great anguish as we read about Abraham and David and Achan and people like those, Peter, how they belong to God and yet sinned. And these passages are there for a reason. And this is why I want to take time looking at Achan and his sin. These passages which describe God's covenant people falling into sin, they are there for a reason. And they are there to remind us that yes, we are Christians. Yes, we are born again. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. And yes, we are forgiven all our sins. And we've been adopted into the family of God. But if we are not careful, we can fall into the worst of sins and we can commit sins that would make us appear to be unbelievers, the kind of sins that unbelievers normally commit. We are capable of committing such sins. I trust if you're a Bible-believing Christian here this evening, you're not sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I would never do the kind of thing that David did. I would never do the kind of thing that Peter did or Achan did because I'm a Christian born again and I belong to the Lord. Because do you know, these people could say the same thing. Achan wasn't an outsider. He wasn't an Amorite. He was an Israelite. And David wasn't an Amorite or a Philistine. He was an Israelite. So these people belonged to the community of God. And yet they committed great sin. And the Spirit of God has chosen to record their sins in the Scriptures so that we may learn. In 1 Corinthians, when Paul wrote to that church, he speaks to them about their sin because the Corinthian church had fallen into great sin. And Paul writes to them about their sin. And there are those passages, chapter 9, chapter 10, where Paul says to them, go back to the Old Testament and see how the people of God in the Old Testament fell into sin. And don't say to yourself, we would never do such things. He says to them, if any man thinks that he is standing firm, let him beware lest he fall. Those words come from 1 Corinthians. If any man thinks that he is standing firm, let him beware lest he fall. So I'm going to study Achan and his sin. Not because I revel in the passage that talks about sin in the camp of Israel. But it's obviously written for us. And I'm going to look at it in some detail because I want us to be warned of this. That yes, we are Christians born again, but we are still open to temptation. And my brothers and sisters, we can fall into terrible sin. Don't be deceived. Don't think you're immune to the worst of sins, and the sins that you as a Christian commit will only be the minor sins, but the worst of sins the unbelievers commit. These passages that I've referred to, they remind us that God's children commit the worst of sins, and we need to learn lessons so that we steer clear of it. Now, this first sermon in Achan, I'm going to look at this question, why Achan fell into sin. I'm not going to look at his actual sin yet. I'm going to do that in another sermon. But I'm going to take one step back and simply ask this question, why on earth did this man do this? You know the story. Last time I was looking in Joshua, we were looking at how the people of Israel walked around the city of Jericho. And on the final day, they walked around the city of Jericho 7 times, and the walls came down, and they went in, and they plundered the city according to the command of God. And God had given them a very specific command. And God had said to them that when you go into Jericho, you are to be discriminatory. You are to be wise. Because there are some things there which are legitimate for you to take, because they're being used for ordinary life. But then there are other items that you will find in Jericho which were used for idolatrous purposes. The people of Jericho were idolaters. And there were some things that they used in their idolatrous practices. What is called devoted things. That's the term that is used in this passage. Devoted things, devoted to their idols. And God had given them a command that the devoted things, these things that they had used in idolatry, you do not take, you destroy them. And the command had gone out. And this man Achan goes into Jericho with the rest. And he goes into a house. And he was obviously by himself. He makes the confession himself in verse 20. And he says that he went into this house and he says, I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Then I coveted them and took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. He says, I went into this house and there were these things, and I was overcome with temptation. I hid them under my cloak. I went out of the city to where Israel had camped, and my tent was there. I went into my tent. I dug a hole, put it all back in the hole, and came back as if nothing had happened, and joined in the plunder. But he had taken things which had been devoted, which had been used for idolatry, and God, therefore, punished Israel. Why did he do this? Well, I'm going to bring 3 reasons for you this evening. They're not directly mentioned in the text, but actually if we look at the historical context, we will see them. Three reasons why Achan fell into sin. And the first is this: Achan forgot that God is gracious. Achan forgot that God is gracious. You see, if you had been in Israel at the time of Achan, do you know, it was a truly remarkable time to live. You know how people say the age of miracles? These people lived in the age of miracles. This was a period of 40 years when tremendous miracles took place. And there probably wasn't another period in the Bible of that length when miracles consistently took place. I don't know of any other period in the history of the Old Testament or in the New Testament where for a period of 40 years, consistently, on a daily basis, miracles are taking place. Think about Israel in Egypt. They're slaves in Egypt. And they cry out to God for deliverance. And God raises up Moses. And God does tremendous miracles through Moses, the 10 plagues. So you have the plague of the frogs and the gnat and the river turning to blood and darkness and boils and so on. And finally, on the final night, you have the miracle or the plague of the firstborn. And so they see all these miracles. Now, I don't know if Achan was alive at the time, but he was most probably the next generation. And if you hear these sort of things, you see these sort of things, you talk about them. You talk to your children about them. So he would have heard about this. And then Israel comes out of Egypt. And they come to the Red Sea. And God miraculously parts the Red Sea. And they cross on dry land. And they go on the other side. And there is no water. They come to this body of water, but the water is bitter. They call it Marah. And they cry out to God, and God turns that water into Elim, sweet waters, and they drink from there. And then they come to another place called Rephidim, and again there is no water. And they cry out to God, and God says to Moses, go and strike that rock. And Moses goes and strikes the rock, and water comes out. And they're in this wilderness, and so they say to the Lord, we need you to guide us. And there is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And daily provisions come literally from heaven. Daily. This is why I say to you that for 40 years, daily miracles were taking place. Because every day they would go out of the camp and there on the ground was food that God had provided. They didn't have to grow their own food. They didn't have to go and search for their own food. They would just go out of the camp 6 days a week and food was provided for them. The day before the Sabbath, enough for 2 days. And all they had to do was go and gather it and eat it. And the following day, as long as it wasn't Sabbath, food again. And this went on day after day after day. And other miracles took place while in the wilderness. You had the tremendous visitation of God at Mount Sinai. You had victories over the Ammonite kings. You had the crossing of the River Jordan. You had the destruction of the walls of Jericho. All these miracles taking place. And they all display the grace of God. And Achan would have witnessed many of these. He may not have witnessed the 10 plagues in Egypt. He may not have witnessed the crossing of the Red Sea. But he would have been one of those who went out of the camp every day and gathered manna that God had provided. He would have been one of those who had witnessed the defeat of the Ammonite kings. He would have been one of those who witnessed how God had provided water and how God had continued to protect the people of Israel. And he definitely was one of those who crossed the River Jordan and saw the destruction of the walls of Jericho. So he sees the grace of God. And yet when he goes into this house and he sees, and frankly the list is pathetic. When you see what he says in verse 21, I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, a piece of cloth, undoubtedly beautiful, but a piece of cloth. 200 shekels of silver. It's not a huge fortune. And a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Then I coveted them and took them. And all that knowledge about the grace of God, how merciful God has been to Israel, how loving he has been, how kind, how patient with them. They have grumbled and grumbled, and he has responded in grace and provided water and food and protection for them. And he forgets all of that and covets and gathers these things which were forbidden. And actually, you know, that is true of all of God's children. When they fall into sin, they forget the grace of God. They forget how kind and how merciful God has been to them. You think of David and how gracious God had been to David. You think of Peter and how gracious the Lord Jesus had been to Peter. Peter had received blessings that even the other apostles hadn't received. He was in that small company whom Jesus considered his closest friends. He was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And yet Peter denies Christ 3 times. And it is one of these things that we have to keep in mind. I stress this point because, as I say, these passages are there as a reminder to us that we as Christians, born again, yes, we can fall into terrible sins. Now, we may not go into a Hindu temple and steal some gold that they used for idolatry. But we can have some of the worst thoughts that are possible about our own Christian brothers and sisters. We can begin to despise our fellow Christians. We can begin to hate fellow Christians because we've rubbed up against them and they've done things that we're not happy with, and that they've done things which we feel are unjust or something like that. And these are terrible sins. And we can slander our fellow Christians if we're not careful in conversation. We can be judgmental. We can talk about other people in a terrible way. We're able to fall into these dreadful sins because we forget how gracious God has been to us. The grace of God is designed to inspire in us gratitude and holiness. The Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and he says to Titus, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all and teaching us to deny ungodliness and to live holy lives. He says this is what the grace of God does. It brings us salvation, the forgiveness of sin. And then it continues to work in our Christian lives, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, and it teaches us to say yes to holy living. Grace is this power at work in the life of the Christian. And Achan forgets God is gracious. Can I say this? As a Christian, make much of the grace of God. Think much about God's grace. Daily, at the end of the day, just look back on your day and every event that happened, think of it as the grace of God. I used to teach in a Bible college in Nairobi, and we used to begin the day with devotions. When one of the students would do a little study, and then we would have a time of prayer. And all those years that I was there, it always struck me, even right at the end of my stay in Kenya, it always struck me that when the man said, now let's come to a time of prayer, and the first man would stand to pray, he would always begin with prayer by saying, Lord, thank you for being gracious to us. We have woken up this morning still alive. whoever it was, whichever class, when one class graduated, the next class came, and the people who prayed would always pray the same thing, because that was their prayer, you see. And they recognized that it's a miracle that we've actually lived through the night and woken up this morning. Now, if you live in Africa, you realize it is a miracle, because life is not to be taken for granted. People died in the night, all sorts of illnesses and thieves break in and so on. So the fact that they woke up in the morning alive and well, and somebody else would pray, "Thank you, Lord, for providing breakfast for us today." Because again, that was not to be taken for granted. "Thank you for giving us Christian fellowship. Thank you that we today are still in fellowship with one another and we love each other and are able to pray for each other and haven't fallen out." Again, you see, not taking anything for granted. And you can at the end of your day look back at the day and say, "Well, Lord, I woke up this morning and I was well and I was able to go to work." That's a grace from God. "And during my day, you were with me. You protected me from sin. I could have fallen into the worst of sins. And you've kept me. And here I am this evening, still walking with you. I haven't denied Christ. I haven't apostatized. I'm still walking with you." These are items of God's grace, signs of God's grace on your life each day. And if you always keep in your mind the grace of God, it will keep you from the worst of sins. So Achan forgot that God is gracious. Secondly, Achan forgot that God is holy. Achan forgot that God is holy. These are the two great aspects of God's character that are revealed in the Bible. The Bible was written to reveal God. The Bible was written to tell us who God is. And particularly in the Bible, these two aspects of God's character, His grace and His holiness, they're found again and again in the Scriptures. And God has spoken to the people of Israel. And God has said to them that He is holy. And He hates sin. I don't know if Achan was alive at Mount Sinai. I think he probably was. He was probably young, but he was probably alive when Sinai happened. And at Sinai, God revealed His holiness. And you read about Sinai in the Old Testament, you read about Sinai in the New Testament, and both Old and New Testament tell us Sinai was the holiness of God revealed. Because God made this mountain holy, and God said to the people of Israel, "You do not come near the mountain, you do not touch the mountain, you do not let any animals come to the mountain, only Moses can come up." And there is lightning, and there is thunder. These signs of God's holiness. And the law is given. And the law reveals God's holiness. And the law, when you read it, the first two commandments against idolatry: "You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image." Now, if Achan didn't see any of that, he would at least have heard about it. Because when you have that kind of experience, you're bound to tell your children. I mean, if you saw a holy mountain and lightning and thunder and the voice of God and the law of God given, and you'd seen Moses coming down the mountain with two tablets of stone, it's a picture you'd never forget. And you talk to your children consistently about it and say, "We remember Sinai and we saw what happened." These things would have been imprinted in Achan's mind. And the law was given so that they would teach their children. Deuteronomy 6, it says, when you have the law, you teach your children to memorize the law. So Achan would have been taught the law. And Achan knew God hates idolatry. First commandment, second commandment, God hates idolatry. And yet Achan forgets all of this. He goes into this house and he knows these things are forbidden. Because if he didn't know, he wouldn't have hidden them, you see. His actions reveal that he knew these things were what they were, what they called devoted things used for idolatry. He knew that. There must have been something about them. And he knew that these things are forbidden. And he knew God has spoken against them. And he knew God is holy. And he knew God judges sin. And Achan forgets all of that. You see, why did Jericho happen? Because God judges sin. God was judging the people of Jericho, which is why the walls fell and the people died. It was God's judgment upon idolatry. So while Achan was hiding these things, God was judging the idolaters of Jericho. Holiness of God revealed. And yet Achan takes these things, hides them under his cloak, runs to his tent, which must have been a little distance outside, and hides them in his tent, and then comes back, the holiness of God completely gone. We as Christians, we have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we have to be very careful in our reading of the Bible. Because there are Christians, and you can buy books written by Christians, and they will say to you that in the Old Testament, God is holy, but in the New Testament, it's the grace of God, and we're dealing only with the grace of God, and the New Testament doesn't make much of the holiness of God. The New Testament is all about grace, and all we have to do is think about grace. And they're wrong. Let me just read to you some words that the Apostle Peter wrote to his readers when he spoke about holiness. And Peter says to his readers, he says, "Prepare your mind for action, be sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he speaks about grace, and then he says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile." Now that's a New Testament letter. That's a New Testament apostle writing to New Testament Christians. And he is saying to them, God is holy. And God judges sin. And God has commanded you to be holy. And you are to live your lives here on earth in fear. Doesn't mean we are to dread God. It means we are to revere God. We are to be mindful of who he is. And we are to live our lives in the light of the holiness of God. Brethren, let's never forget this. God is holy. And God will deal with us in holiness. We fall into sin. He will discipline us. And things will go badly for us if we live lives of chronic sin. Because God is holy. So Achan forgot that God is gracious. Achan forgot that God is holy. And then thirdly and finally, Achan forgot that God sees all things. Achan forgot that God sees all things. I'm looking again at his confession. And he says in verse 20, Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them, and see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath." So you see what he's done. He's gone into this house in Jericho. He's seen these things. And he's obviously hidden them in his cloak. And he goes out thinking, well, nobody can see that I've gone into this house. Nobody was there with me. Nobody saw me taking these items. Nobody saw me putting them in my cloak. Nobody knows that I've got them in my cloak. They're all busy plundering other parts of Jericho. And while they're all busy, I will just creep out of the city, go back to my tent and hide them. And nobody will know and nobody has seen anything. And I will get away with it. It's the foolishness of it. Because chapter 7 begins with the words, "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." And when Joshua falls before the Lord, God speaks to Joshua. And God says to him, "Israel has sinned. I have seen it," is what he's saying. This is the foolishness of sin. This is the stupidity of sin, you see. We're in our own homes. The doors are closed. The windows are closed. And nobody can see what we're doing. And the things that we watch on the computer. Or we have thoughts in our minds. And I can't read your mind. You can't read mine. And we have things in our heart. We have bitterness and anger in our hearts. We have hatred in our hearts. We despise other Christians. We despise other human beings. That's just as bad as sin. And I can't see your heart. You can't see mine. I don't know what's going on there. And we're experts at hiding things in our hearts and minds and putting on a nice, holy frontier. And we think, well, as long as nobody challenges me, and as long as nobody says, "I think you're sinning," we're okay, we've got away with it. God sees all things. It's a great reminder, isn't it? And it'll keep us from sin. I love the story of Joseph. And Joseph is in the bedroom. And Potiphar's wife comes in. All the servants are out of the house. She's obviously brought about this scene. She sort of sent them all out so that she's alone in the house with Joseph. And there they are in the bedroom together. And she says to him, "Lie with me." And Joseph could have thought to himself, all the servants are away. They're all out of the house. My master is in his office doing government business. My father and my brothers are away in Israel. Nobody can see me. If I lie with this woman, nobody will know. He could have thought of that. But do you remember his answer to Potiphar's wife? He says, "How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God?" He remembered this. Yes, all the servants are out and the master is in his office and my family are in Israel. But God is watching me. And if I sin, I sin against God from whom there are no secrets. It's a dreadful thought in many ways. I must admit, I've never had the courage to put in my office a sign saying, "Remember, God is watching you." I think I would find that very dreadful. But it perhaps isn't a bad thing to do. To have a notice somewhere, "Remember, God is watching." Maybe that'll protect us from a number of sins that we commit in our hearts and in our minds. Achan forgot that God sees all things. Well, that led him to his sin. We will continue this passage and we will look at what he did when he sinned and how God responded to it. But I trust it will be of help to us just to see this background as we look into this important passage. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's